And I would encourage you to please take your Bibles and open with me to Psalm 69. But also, I do want you to think about, as we open to Psalm 69, I want you to think about whether you have ever been in David's shoes, whether you have ever been in Christ's shoes, whether you have ever been in the shoes of the apostles, and by that I mean, have you ever been hated? And to be more specific, have you ever been hated unjustly, wrongfully? Have you ever had it where somebody has hated you when they really had no just cause or no just reason to hate you? The title of the message this morning is When You Are Hated, or When You're Hated Without a Cause. Now, the person who hated you might not agree to that. They might say, I had every reason to hate you. I had every reason to falsely accuse you, or accuse you, because they wouldn't call it false. I had every reason to say unkind things about you. But you know that you were hated without a cause. Have you ever been there? We're going to see that David was suffering from that. It wasn't pleasant. We're going to find out that Christ suffered the same thing, that he told his followers they should expect that. And we're going to talk about the hurt and the help when you are hated without a cause. Psalm 69. Now, it's a long one. This is a long song. We're going to read it and start to get into it today, and we'll finish it next week. So this will be a two-parter. So this is really When You're Hated Without a Cause, Part 1. So follow along. I think as we read it, you're going to hear some verses that are familiar to you. Okay, you're going to say, oh, I remember that verse, but I don't remember that from the Psalms. You're going to hear verses that are familiar from the New Testament. This is very oft quoted in the New Testament. Psalm 69, to the chief musician set to the lilies, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs on my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Even though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. Or some of your versions say, must I still restore it? O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I even made sackcloth my garment, and I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of this mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of these deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That should sound very familiar, right? Verse 22, let their table become a snare before them, and their well-being a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in their tents, for they persecute the ones you have struck, and talk of the grief of those you have wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. And I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your heart shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them, for God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. Also the descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Now when you have a big passage like this, right, there's some passages that are long. You have to get the big picture first. And the big picture here is that David was hurting. He was hurting. Why was he hurting? And there are a variety of places you could look to answer that question. But part of it was that he was being hated without a cause. Verse 4 says that. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Now, most of you, I asked you to raise hands. You may have felt where one person was hating you for a short time without some cause. Well, David had been hated by many for a long time without a cause. If you've ever tasted what that feels like, maybe one person was hating you for a time without a cause, imagine what it's like when a bunch of people are hating you for a long time without a cause. And without a cause means they do not rightfully hate you. They might say they have a cause, but they don't. You should think about what that feels like if you've ever felt it as we go through this psalm. The Spirit of God here is showing us that David experienced that. And the Spirit of God shows us in the rest of Scripture that Christ experienced that. And the Spirit of God also teaches us that followers of Jesus Christ should expect to experience this, where others may hate you without a cause, meaning they do not rightfully hate you. That hatred may be expressed in a variety of ways. They may write bad things about you. They may say bad things about you. They may spread to others bad things about you. When it happens, it hurts. But when it happens, there is also help. We could really divide this psalm into two halves. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 12, are primarily the hurt of being hated without a cause. It doesn't end there. But that is the focus of verses 1 through 12, the hurt of being hated without a cause. And we're going to go through some of that hurt today. And then verses 13 to 36 are the help. What's the good news when you're being hated without a cause? And there's plenty of it. And we'll look at that more next time, though we'll jump into it a little bit today. So as we go through this, the truth is this. The main truth of this entire psalm is this. What happened to King David and what happened to Jesus Christ and his apostles can happen also to you. If it hasn't yet, your day's coming. Maybe you're in the midst of this now. Maybe it's happening even now. You have someone who really hates you unjustly, wrongfully. And when that happens, the truth is it hurts, but there is help. Hey, it hurts, but there is help. We're going to flesh that out a little bit. What is it like? What are some of the hurts? What are some of the things that you go through when you're being hated without a cause? All right, and these are things that if you've been through this, you'll go, oh, I know that. Well, these are things that David knew, that Christ knows, and that you know. Number one, when you're hated without a cause, it can weigh heavy. It can weigh heavy on your heart, on your mind, on your spirit. You just can't lift this weight off. It weighs heavily on you. Look at verses 1 and 2. That's the idea here. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I am sinking in deep mire where there is no place to stand, literally. I have come into deep waters where the floods are overflowing me. Well, this is a word picture. All right. All of the imagery here is to convey that this situation was weighing very heavily on David. It's weighing him down. Okay, he is picturing himself as a vessel on the waters, but now the vessel is starting to take water on, right? We've got a leak. We're taking on water, and we're going down into the water, and this thing is sinking. That's the imagery. You can say, well, why does he talk like that? Well, because people talked that way. And we talk that way today, although we usually use this imagery somewhere else. Where do we say, oh yeah, he's up to his neck in debt? We use the same imagery, only we use it more when it comes to debt. He's up to his neck in debt. He's sinking in all his financial woes. Well, this kind of imagery was used back then to say, my boat is going down. I'm sinking. Literally, when it says, verse 2, the waters have come up to my neck. Some of you have a different translation, a better translation. The water has come into my soul. And that's what he's saying. These troubled waters have come in, and it's starting to weigh down my soul, and I'm down. It's word picture for being down, discouraged, sinking, maybe even depressed. Why? I'm hated without a cause. Take a look at verse 20. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. In other words, reproach is criticism. The criticism, the sharp criticism against me is weighing heavily on my mind, my spirit, and my heart. And the truth is, when you're hated without a cause, it hurts. One of the hurts is this can weigh you down. It can weigh heavily on your mind, heavily on your heart. And you can't sleep at night. You can't forget about it during the day. You'll be like, you know what, I'm just going to put this behind me. Next thing you know, you're out for a walk, and here it comes again. You're thinking about it again. Oh, you know what, I'm just going to turn this over to the Lord. And then what? You're thinking about it again. Oh, now you're discouraged because you thought you turned it over to the Lord, and you did, and you meant to, but it's still weighing on your mind. How many of you are still struggling in dealing with things that happened a long time ago? Yeah, sure. Maybe you were hated without a cause last year, or you were hated without a cause 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, and you've given it over to God, and you're beyond this now, and here it comes back like a flood, and you're like, ugh. You're thinking about what you could have said, or what you might still say. Hang on. It weighs heavy. It hurts. You say, well, why would the Spirit of God tell me about this? Because the Spirit of God wants you to know He understands. He's been through this too. He knows what it is to be hated without a cause. You think Jesus didn't go through being hated without a cause? He did. So it can weigh heavy. Number two, this really follows on from the first one. When you're hated without a cause, you can grow weary. You're just tired of this. You're tired of thinking about it. You're tired of this going on. Look at verse 3. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes are failing while I wait for my God. By the way, you will notice as I read, sometimes when I'm reading a psalm, I'm reading it in the present tense because when David writes this, it's going on. So you could read it this way. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry, my eyes are failing while I am waiting for my God. This is real time. He's in the midst of it. He's in the depths. It's weighing heavy, and he's growing weary. He's tired of it. Anybody ever get tired of that? You're hated without a cause. Somebody's got something against you. You know they do. They're not keeping it a secret. You know they've got something against you, and you're just tired of it. You just want this to be over, past, done with, gone. And it doesn't go away. Spirit of God is saying, I understand that. Look at David. This isn't anything new. This kind of thing has been going on for thousands of years. You are not alone. You can grow weary. It's one thing to carry a light burden for a day or two. It's another thing to carry a heavy weight for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. And when you're hated without a cause, it is like carrying a heavy load that is a burden, and you just have to keep carrying it. Now, we're going to find there's good news aplenty. You can share that load, and you can have others who will share the load. But it can weigh heavy, and you can grow weary. And number three, your accusers can be many. Might not be just one person. Verse 4, those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Now again, he says, those who hate me without a cause. That's David's claim, they hate me without a cause. The enemy would say, hate you without a cause? Are you kidding? We got a cause. And they would state their case. But David is going to God and he's saying, Lord, I know the truth here. And I know their hatred of me is not justified. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about when somebody hates you, but it's not justified. The enemy may be convinced that you're guilty of some wrongdoing. Your enemy may be convinced that he or she has the case against you. And in such a case, it's common for the enemy, listen now, in such a case, it's common for your enemy to go and make their case known to others. Why? Because they want to be justified in hating you. They want to be justified in their anger. So it's not uncommon for them to go and tell other people, do you know what that no good scoundrel did? Well, he did this. And here's my case. And now guess what? Now you're hated by other people who buy into what they said. Because, you know, it's very common for people to believe the first person that comes along. Well, do you know? He did this and this. He did? Why, that I thought he was a good person. He's a no good, just like you say he is. Or she really is a no good, just like you say she is. When the truth of the matter is, God knows that person didn't do wrong. You say, well, can that really happen? That happens every day. Every day. There are people who are in fact innocent who are treated as though they are in fact guilty. And yet in fact they're innocent. That happens every day. Isn't that amazing? Because I know when you're younger, we were all naive when we were younger, we thought, well, people just can't be that evil to actually accuse someone of wrongdoing when they're actually, that just can't happen. You get a little older and you're like, hey, it can happen. And when it happens to you, that's an eye-opener. You're like, wow. I never had it where I was hated without a cause and where that person was making their case to other people and they were buying it. And you go, wait, you believe that? Well, yeah, they made a really good case against you, but it's not true. And now, oh, you sound defensive. Well, yeah, because I'm innocent. So listen, this is real life. The Spirit of God is telling you, I understand. When you're hated without a cause, it can weigh heavy. Amen? I was talking to Dominic. I was putting Dominic on the spot there. During meet and greet, I said, hey, and he goes, do I know your name? And I said, I'm Dominic. He said, I'm John. I said, oh, you're the preacher. So you're going to preach this morning. He said, here's what I'm going to say. Just say amen. So just say amen. If you're hated without a cause, it can weigh heavy. Amen. You can grow weary. Amen. Your accusers can be many. Amen. And number four, because you are presumed guilty. Number four, you are presumed guilty. Look at the end of verse 4. And it probably reads this way. Even though I have stolen nothing, must I now restore it? Wait, you mean, I mean, this is really unjust. I'm being accused of this wrongdoing, which I didn't do, and now I have to pay restitution. It's like they, not only do they want you to confess that you're guilty of what you didn't do, they want you to pay back what you never took. The issue here is that you're presumed guilty. You ever heard of innocent until proven guilty? Well, that's not the way it goes for the person who hates you without a cause. No, you're guilty, 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 and I don't need to hear anything else. You're just guilty, guilty, and anything you have to tell me, I'll just use it against you. How many of you ever heard of the Miranda rights? You have the right to remain silent because anything you say can and will be used against you in their court of law. And that's the way it is. If you don't say anything, well, see, you must be guilty. Silence is agreement. So you must be guilty. If you say anything, see, look, you must be guilty because you're saying something. Darned if you do and darned if you don't. Catch 22. It weighs heavy, and you grow weary, and your accusers can be many, and you're presumed guilty. And when this happens, It hurts. It hurts. Well, that's as far as we're going to get this morning. You're going to find next time that not only are you presumed guilty, you can start to worry. And that's the next couple of verses. And this can affect your family. It can involve your family. And you're going to see it can get crazy. And there's some pretty interesting things we're going to study down there in verses 10 and 11 and 12. I mean, it can get absolutely crazy. But there is good news aplenty. And there's a lot of good news here from 13 to 36. And we're going to get into that next time. But let me just give you a taste of the good news. If you look at verse 4, it says, "Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head." Listen to John 15, 25. John 15, 25, speaking about Jesus Christ. It says, "But this happened, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." That's a reference to Psalm 69. And that's Jesus talking to his disciples and saying, listen, the world hates me. But the reason the world hates me is because the scripture had to be fulfilled in Psalm 69:4. They hated me without a cause. David prefigures Christ. So Christ came and the world hated him and his own brothers hated him without a cause. And he says the reason is because this word had to be fulfilled. And guess what the application is? In that whole context, Jesus says to his disciples, and they're going to hate you too in the very same way. You're going to find people hating you. They have no good cause to hate you. They have no righteous case against you because you know the truth of what you did and what you didn't do, what you said and what you didn't say. And you know what? When that happens, rejoice. That's the way David suffered. That's the way Christ suffered. That's the way the apostles suffered. And that's part of your calling. It has been granted to you not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for his name's sake. That's a gift. That is a gift of God. You get to suffer like David and Jesus and the other apostles. Well, there is good news aplenty in the rest of that psalm. We'll cover it next time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you understand us. We thank you that you care about us. And we thank you that you speak to us about things that we suffer and endure in this life. I pray for those in this room here who this morning, even now, are being hated without a cause. I know there are people who are going through that. And I just pray, Father, that you would grant them strength and wisdom and comfort in the midst of that trial, knowing that you are the comforter. You are one who understands. You are one who has compassion on us. I pray, Father, that we would come back next week to understand how to endure such trials. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.